Hey everyone, welcome back to Life Combos with Tyriana. I'm your host, Tyriana Evans, and I'm really excited for today's episode. I know I say that every week, but this episode is about the power in learning about Black history. I'm going to share a little bit about how I came to learn about Black history and why I think it's important for everyone to learn some form of Black history throughout their life, especially in relation to the contributions of African Americans to United States history. And this is also a super timely episode because it is currently Black History Month. February is a dedicated time where many people across the country, especially within the Black community, acknowledge and celebrate the achievements of historical figures and everyday people that have contributed to the framework of our country. Black History Month started off as Black History Week in 1926 by what we consider the father of Black history, Carter G. Woodson. He was the founder of ASALA, or the Association for the Study of African American Life and History. And eventually, through his work and the support of other people, it eventually turned from what was known as Black History Week to becoming eventually Black History Month in the 1960s. So today's podcast, I'm going to talk a little bit about how I came to learn about Black history growing up, and then I will also share some tangible tips of how everyone can learn about Black history, and you don't have to be in a college classroom or a traditional classroom to learn this history. There are so many ways to be able to engage with various historical aspects throughout wherever you live in the United States. So I will definitely share some recommendations and resources in the description below. As always, just for context, I am currently a PhD history student. So this is something that I'm really passionate about, but I did not always start off with this deep love for history. It was something that I eventually grew into as I got older and honestly learned more about Black history. So as I've mentioned in previous episodes, I grew up being homeschooled by my mom, and I was homeschooled from kindergarten to 12th grade. So I never went to a traditional school. But as I was homeschooled, my mom would often supplement our information that we learned through tutorials and different like homeschool curriculums that are, you know, in existence. And so in particular, starting in fifth grade, we started doing this like classical education-based model. And it was during this time that obviously I'm getting older, so I'm becoming more familiar with maybe the curriculum and the historical figures we're learning about. So, you know, the traditional like American history and like the American Revolutionary War and the Great Depression and different things like that. But I started noticing that there was not much Black history. A lot of times what I was learning, it started with enslavement, just in terms of discussing the history of Black people, it started with enslavement, and then it would skip to MLK and civil rights. And then a few years later, we would add Obama into it because he was the first Black president. And I, just being the very curious kid that I was, thought, well, what happened to Black people in between enslavement and MLK? Like, obviously, they were around, and I personally wouldn't be here if Black people were not around during these, like, significant gaps that we're not learning about in history. But it was just not something that was discussed in my curriculum that I was learning from in particular. And I do want to backtrack and say that before fifth grade, I would say I was getting a significant amount of Black history, because my mom was really the person that organized the curriculum. And it was also through my church that they had a homeschool ministry. So I remember, like, very early on, we would always have this thing where we would dress up as some historical figure from African American history and then give like a little tiny presentation about it. And for example, one of the figures that I dressed up as was Althea Gibson, and she was the first Black woman tennis player to win the U.S. Nationals, the French Championship, and Wimbledon. So it was really cool to be able to share her story with my, you know, peers that were also learning about Black history, as well as some parents who didn't even know about Althea Gibson as well. But now, again, between this like fifth and 10th grade, I'm not really learning much about Black history. And it was really starting to bother me because I think I always had an interest in history, but it was something about not seeing myself represented that I was like, ooh, I don't want to really learn anymore. I don't understand how this relates to me. I think, you always want to make things about yourself in a way. So I was just kind of like, oh, I'm good. Like, I don't really want to learn anymore. So I remember going to my mom and I'm just like, hey, like, where is the Black history in this curriculum? I really don't see myself in this history, and I'm just really confused and concerned. And so my mom obviously took this really seriously and said, okay, well, just give me a little time. I'll figure something out. And so within, I would say, a year or two, she actually helped co-write a curriculum with one of her friends, another homeschool mom, and they started their own Pan-African Black homeschool program that was called Children of the Sun. And it was through that I started to learn more about specifically like the history before enslavement, of learning about Black people and the amazing things they were doing in Africa and related to math and science and technology that unfortunately was upended when enslavement happened and they were ripped from their home countries. I will say, in that program, I wasn't always excited. It was very much of a culture shock, again, coming from this like heavily Eurocentric curriculum to learning things that oftentimes you just challenge. It honestly challenged a lot of the notions and ideas that I had about Black people, especially about Africans and like African history that I just wasn't familiar with at this time. And so it was like just a crazy juxtaposition, to be honest, to just come from one extreme to a whole nother extreme. But it was good. It was refreshing. It helped spark my interest in Black history and especially like African history. And it made me feel more confident in myself to know that I come from this really great lineage of people that, while enslavement was such an awful thing, especially when the first Africans were brought to the shores of the United States in 1619, that my ancestry and legacy goes way farther back than that. And I can be proud of the ancestors that I had and the work that they did in Africa before coming over to the US, before being forced to come over to the United States. And so eventually, I graduate and I go to college, and I attended an HBCU for a year before transferring to George Washington University, and it was a requirement that everyone had to take an African American history class. It's just a part of the curriculum. And again, an HBCU is a historically Black college and university. So this is a college that was essential for African Americans to even get an education, because before, the 1950s, and even a little bit after the 1950s, African Americans were not allowed to attend predominantly white institutions and universities. So they had to go to HBCUs. And many popular HBCUs today that people know about are Howard University, Spelman, Morehouse, Morgan, Hampton University, just to name a few. So it was while I was taking this African American history class that I met one of like my soon-to-be mentors, which his name was Dr. Creary. And it really, being in his class and just seeing his passion for teaching about Black history and Black culture, and just the excitement that he brought into the classroom, really like piqued my interest. I was like, wait, this is so cool. I want to learn more about this. And I just loved the class so much. And at the time, I was a communications major, and I always knew that I wanted to do journalism. But it was something about sitting in that class, listening to him talk about things that I had never learned about from like my time in high school, or even when my mom started her curriculum, and just being like, wow, like, Black people are so dope. Like, we've gone through so much, but we've also created so many beautiful things in terms of music and cultural aspects, as well as like television shows and inventions. It's just so many things. So it was really inspiring. I would often leave that class just like driving home, just in awe of like, wow, I can't believe what we've been through, but also how we as African Americans and Black people have made it through and we've survived. And not only have we survived, but we have thrived. And it was after that that the professor, you know, in terms of me just being able to go to his office hours and get to know him more, he offered me the opportunity to help him with doing research about the lynchings of African Americans, but specifically if any people were convicted for lynching African Americans. And it was just really hard research to do. Incredibly sad, heart-wrenching, heartbreaking work. But I knew it was important, and it was through this research that I had the opportunity to really grapple with some of the tangible aspects that we have left from this period of when lynchings were just rampant in the United States in like the late 1800s and 1900s. And I will never forget, I was doing research at the Library of Congress, and I was going through the NAACP, so the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People's files that they have. They have like archival records from the NAACP. And I picked up a letter, and it was addressed to W.E.B. Du Bois. And someone was letting him know about a lynching that had recently happened in their state. And it was also like a postcard too attached to it of like a photo of a lynching. And it was like for the first time where I'm not just like reading about history or watching a documentary, but I'm like holding it in my hands as I had gloves on. But I was like holding it in my hands, and I was like, whoa, like I always had read about, you know, W.E.B. Du Bois and his contributions to Black history and his work with the NAACP. But to know that he probably held this letter himself and, you know, maybe even responded to this person to help calm the anxiety that they were feeling at this time of like, what can we do? Like, no one's helping us and people are getting lynched every day, just made me so emotional. Just like reading that history and honestly, like touching that like postcard. And so after that, we ended up presenting our research. If you remember, I mentioned Black history was started by Carter G. Woodson, who started the SALA organization. And during my junior year in college, so at this point, I had already transferred from Bowie State, but was still in contact with Dr. Creary. And I was able to go with him and another student that I did research with to the SALA conference and present our research about people who were convicted for lynching African Americans. And it was honestly a foreshadowing of where I would ultimately end up today, because I was in this room with people who had recently finished their PhD dissertations or were in the middle of their PhD programs, and people who had their master's. And I'm there, I don't even have my bachelor's yet. Like, I still have one more year left of school. And I'm talking about like this research that I've done and being able to go into the archives. And I just didn't know how significant that is, and that everyone doesn't have that opportunity to present at such a well-known research conference. But I always believe that, you know, with me being a Christian, that like God sometimes places you in rooms and will give you glimpses of your future and what's in store. And so that is definitely something that I look back now and I'm like, okay, I definitely see how God was like showing me like, hey, you're going to go on. And as much as you'll tell everyone, you don't want to do a PhD, you're going to do a PhD. And it's also funny because the same mentor would always say to me, like, when you get your PhD, remember, and I'll always look at him and I'll go, I will do a master's. Like, I know that was something like my mom wanted. And I was the first person in my immediate family to get a master's degree. So I said, look, I'll do the master's degree, but PhD, that's a lot of time. I don't think that's for me. And you know, I have learned never say never, because you just never know when you are going to end up doing something that you said you would never do. So it was just a very interesting path, and it's not linear of how I got to being interested about Black history, but this was definitely some of the earliest moments and memories that I can pinpoint of being like, okay, this is when I really started like piquing my interest in learning more about Black history and about Black culture. And it was also through like PBS documentaries and watching other historians like Henry Louis Gates talk about just so many aspects of Black history that we don't learn about in today in our textbooks or even in the classroom. So eventually I would go on to, you know, get my bachelor's in journalism, but I knew that I wanted to study something in terms of African American history and Black history. So I decided to pursue a master's in Pan-African studies from Syracuse University. And a lot of people are not familiar with what Pan-Africanism is. And I'll talk a little bit more about it in my tangible points of like ways that you can really dive deep into learning more about Black history, especially outside of the context of the United States, because obviously Africans and Black people in general have touched all parts of the globe. Like, there's not a part of the world that we have not been in or lived in and contributed to that society and culture. And it was doing those classes, like even as a TA for like African American literature classes, that I was able to help just even the next generation of college students learn more about Black history. And it was always just so inspiring. Like, I would often ask students, like, what is one thing you're going to take away from this class? And I will say the majority of them would say the resiliency of African Americans. Like, I had no idea how bad and how awful things were for Black people, and how in spite of all the odds, in spite of everything people did to try to keep them from ever reaching their goals or achieving their dreams, that they surpassed it. And especially within the African American literature class that I was teaching, it was about, like, we were reading firsthand accounts of enslavement by Frederick Douglass. And so many of these kids are reading these like awful things that he had to endure during his enslavement, or even just the experiences of other people on the plantation, or what many historians refer to as forced labor camps. So it was something that I always held deeply in my heart, was just like, yeah, the resiliency, if there's nothing that you take away from Black history and learning about it, is just the resiliency of African Americans in general, and especially their reliance in faith. Many African Americans in the U.S. had some type of spiritual belief. You know, I'm not going to say that all of them were Christians, because that's certainly not true, but they believed in a higher power. They believed in a God that was out there guiding them, leading them, directing them, sustaining them, protecting their children when they were taken away from them. They just knew that they had nothing else. Like, there was no one else that they could go to protect them except to God. And it was their faith in God that sustained them through some of the most awful things that you can endure in Black history. But don't worry, we'll also talk about the joyful moments in Black history as well. So yeah, that's just a little bit about my background and how I came to really just want to learn more about Black history. And I'm going to now share just some tips and advice on how you can learn about Black history and not be in a classroom or have homework assignments, and make sure that it's like credible information. So these are three tips that I think are really important for you to apply to your everyday life, or especially during Black History Month, just to learn more about Black history in general. So tip number one is to seek out Black history. I say this because if you heard in my own story, Black history is not always something that you just see in your everyday life, or when you're learning in primary school, even to college. Like, a lot of colleges don't require that you take history courses or learn about African American history. So it is something that you're going to have to put a little bit of work into to learn about. But I promise you, learning about it is absolutely worth it. So Black history is not always easy to find, and so much of our history, as I mentioned, is Eurocentric. So it's told from this European perspective, or as we often know, history is like written by the victors and not the victims, is a really popular saying. So seek out museums or historical houses that have connections to Black history, and that way you can encounter Black history just like for yourself. I can definitely say that because I am in the DMV area, we have so many museums and historical houses that you can visit that are connected to prominent historical Black figures. One museum that I recommend every single person go to, and even if you're not in the DMV, if you just ever visit DC, please, please, please visit the Smithsonian's National Museum of African American History and Culture, which is also referred to as NAMAC. It is a beautiful museum. It's one of Smithsonian's newest museums. They often change exhibits, so even if you've been before, they are constantly updating exhibits so that like every year or two, there's something new that they have that they are showing in the museum. The museum is huge. There are multiple levels. And I always tell people, you can't even see the entire museum in one day. Like, if you got there from the time that they opened to the time that they closed, you still wouldn't be able to see everything that they have. So it's definitely something that you have to come back to. So like, maybe when you go, you tackle one floor, or you tackle like at least the whole bottom part of the museum. But whatever you do, get to that museum, learn more about Black history, artifacts that they have. For example, they have the casket of Emmett Till, who was tragically killed, and his killing really sparked the civil rights movement and sparked this like activism aspect of so many Black people during this time of being like, hey, like, this is not right that innocent children, Black men, Black women are being killed by white vigilantes. So highly suggest, recommend that you go to that museum. You do need to get tickets just because it's so popular. So just visit their website and the tickets are free. You don't have to pay for the tickets, but definitely visit the website to get tickets for ahead of time when you plan to visit. Outside of museums and historical houses, I also recommend that maybe you attend different book talks from authors that are writing books about Black history and culture. I will say specifically again to the DMV area, we have a lot of Black-owned bookstores, and so I would highly suggest going to those bookstores' websites, and they often have a calendar, or even on their social media, they'll post when they're going to have like an author come and do a talk. And sometimes they're virtual, sometimes they're in person. But it's also good that even if you can't attend the book talk for whatever reason, you could just purchase the author's book to learn more about something that you're interested in. And I think like you can take things that you're interested in your everyday life and figure out how does that apply to Black history, right? Another one that is really, really fun that you can do, and this is something my family does all the time, is if you are going on vacation to anywhere in the United States, there is some aspect of Black history there that you can learn about during your vacation. And obviously, it's not anything like stressful. You know, you're not going to be quizzed. It's not a test. It's not an exam. But it's just something like when you're looking for something fun to do outside of just like laying on the beach or going to the pool or being in the hotel or just eating. What is something that is in that area that you can find that is related to Black history? I think a really good example of this, and personally, I've never been here, but Martha's Vineyard is known to be such a popular beach that so many families visit during the summer. But it also has this really rich legacy of African American history that many people don't know, that at a time when beaches were segregated, many affluent Black families were able to carve out beach towns in that area that to this day, some of their descendants still live at and still frequent those beaches. So I would highly suggest, like, if you are, for example, going to Martha's Vineyard, you could just do some research about, you know, what were some popular landmarks? Is there a church in town that a lot of Black families frequented during their visits? It's just a really great way to connect with Black history outside of your own town that you might live in. I'll say particularly for my family, when we've gone to Florida, we've sought out like historical houses of different Black figures and we've gone to like visit them. Or maybe if you're going to South Carolina, I believe that they recently opened an African-American museum there. So that's another place you can go to visit an African-American museum that is not just like the Smithsonian one that is in Washington, D.C. So those are really just easy ways to seek out Black history just in your everyday life, you know, whether you're on vacation or whether it's Black History Month, when there's so many events happening, you can just easily pick up a flyer, look on Instagram, and just find something that will help you to engage with an aspect of Black history that you may know very little bit about or something you're incredibly passionate about. My second tip is to learn Black history through a global lens. So as I mentioned earlier, my master's is in Pan-African studies. A lot of people ask me, what
in the world is Pan-African studies? Like, what? Okay, we know like the word Africa is in it, but what does that actually mean? So I'm so glad you asked. So according to the Oxford Academic Encyclopedia definition, Pan-Africanism arose, this is the beginning of the quote, Pan-Africanism arose as a philosophy to restore the humanity and dignity of the African person and indeed all humans. And then it goes on further to say, for this intervention, I want to link Pan-Africanism to the knowledge system of Africa and the lived experiences of the African persons at home and abroad. This approach to Pan-Africanism is sometimes called Afrocentricity and seeks to trace the unique contributions of Africans to human transformations, end quote. So the very easy way of saying what is Pan-Africanism? Pan-Africanism is basically taking the hardships, the struggles, and the challenges that Black people have faced, not only in the United States, but abroad, and learning about how they contributed to those cultures. This takes the form of Afro-Caribbeanism, where many African enslaved people were taken to like Barbados, Bahamas, to work on sugar canes there and work on sugar plantations during enslavement. So there is rich Black history there. It's also Afro-Latino culture. So that's looking at Afro-Cubans. Anywhere that Black people have touched the world and the globe is something that is studied in Pan-Africanism. So it's not just strictly dedicated to learning about United States and African-American history and culture, but it's just like, hey, yes, Black people suffered enslavement and Jim Crow and lynchings in the United States, but then there are also African people that were enslaved in the Bahamas and the Barbados, and then they've had to continue to endure colonial rule, and these are some of the challenges they face. And so I really love that it takes this global approach to learning more about Black history. So a really good way to learn more about that is just to watch documentaries. There are so many documentaries about like Afro-Latino culture, Afro-Caribbean culture. There are a lot of good books that I'll definitely link below to learn more about Pan-Africanism and some of the leaders of the Pan-African movement and things that they thought were worth believing in and working hard for. But it's something that is really just vital to understanding that African-Americans are not the only, you know, Black people in the world, and there are African descendants everywhere, and you should learn about their history as well. And lastly, the final tip that I have is to learn about Black joy. I cannot emphasize this point enough. I think, as I mentioned, like I studied lynchings in undergrad, and that is just incredibly gut-wrenching. I can't even explain what it's like to look at a photo of someone being lynched or to see the crowds that would come out to see someone be reduced to what they considered was less than human and at the expense of their entertainment. And there's been times that I've been learning about Black history and I'm like, where is the joy in this? Like, where are the good moments? Where do we have fun? Where do we thrive? And it wasn't until I started wanting to learn more about maybe famous Black musicians, such as Ella Fitzgerald, or poets like Langston Hughes, that I started to see just tiny traces of moments where we would experience Black joy and enjoy our humanity. So you can look at any period of Black history and find that there were ways to prioritize joy, whether it was through music, dance, poetry, and then eventually as we get more into modern times, TV sitcoms and movies. I think sometimes, even just because I recently took a class about enslavement and was also teaching a class about enslavement, we would see the little aspects of joy when maybe during that time between Christmas and New Year's that they would gather with loved ones and have dances, and that they would often come together and cook meals. Like, those were those small, tiny moments and enduring the worst aspects of humanity that they found joy and love with their families. You know, we as African Americans have experienced some of the worst of humanity in the form of enslavement and lynchings. but it is out of this that we have created a beautiful culture, a culture where we sing and we dance with our families and we enjoy soul food that our ancestors made out of scraps. And that brings me joy no matter what I face, that in the past or what I will face in the future, to know that regardless of anything I go through, my ancestors survived the worst, and it's because of them that I can. That's, I know, the name of an organization, but it is true. Because of my ancestors, I am where I am today. And as I've mentioned, in teaching these classes and seeing young students start to recognize what it looks like to be resilient, I oftentimes get incredibly emotional because I could not imagine living during enslavement and having my child ripped away from me or being torn away from my siblings and not knowing if I'll ever see them again. I can't tell you what it was like for African people to be forced on boats, to endure months of some of the worst conditions on a boat, so many of them to have died during the Middle Passage, and the ones who survived who had to face enslavement and wonder how they would make it the next day as they would just fall into their makeshift beds from exhaustion of picking cotton or sugar, depending on where they were. And I can't tell you what it was like for African Americans to worry about their sons or potentially daughters being lynched even after they survived enslavement. And I can't imagine what it was like during the civil rights movement to know that you were putting your life at risk just to have equal access to a lunch counter or a movie theater or any other public store or place, that you were not allowed to go into the main entrance or even just be served because of the color of your skin. And for them, I'm thankful. Like, everything that I do is because of my ancestors. And I know that without them, I wouldn't be the person I am today. I wouldn't be the student I am today if it wasn't for their contribution. I wouldn't even be able to go to school today if it wasn't for the sacrifices of those students that first integrated predominantly white universities or predominantly white schools. And when I look at their legacy, I just know that I can't give up. Like, I can't be discouraged. And yeah, right now that we are currently facing some pushback against the efforts that are specifically for myself that my Black ancestors have made and have paved the way for me to be able to enjoy. But if there's anything that I've taken away from learning about Black history, is that we can't fall apart. Like, we can't give up. Quitting is not an option. And quitting was definitely not an option for them when they were going through Jim Crow, enslavement, and lynchings. And so it's with that mindset that I know that I too have to persist, and I also have to resist, and I have to keep going. Because if my ancestors could make it, I can make it as well. I have a shirt that says, I am my ancestors' wildest dreams, and I really hope that I make the ancestors proud, that the people who came before me know that I am so incredibly thankful for the sacrifices they have made for me to have the opportunities that I have today, to be able to work the jobs that I have, to have the degrees and the opportunities to walk around Capitol Hill when I was doing journalism, to work steps away from the White House, a White House that was built by enslaved people. It's something about learning Black history that you start to see it all around you. And especially within the DMV, like, you just see buildings and you know, wow, like, that's something my ancestors did. And I think even when I think about when I graduated from George Washington University and I had the opportunity to be the commencement student speaker, I'm standing on the National Mall and I'm thinking about Martin Luther King Jr. and his I Have a Dream speech that he did just a few blocks down the road at Lincoln Memorial. And I think about Marian Anderson, who was a singer, and how she wasn't allowed to perform at Constitution Hall because she was Black, and ended up singing on the steps of Lincoln Memorial. And then here I am, a young Black woman following in their footsteps, but I would not have had that opportunity had it not been for them just being themselves and letting their faith and their belief guide them to these opportunities that they had. And now we can look back at it in history books and go, yeah, I'm thankful for them, because without them, I wouldn't be able to do the things that I do today. So I hope that this episode inspires you to just go out and learn more about Black history. There's, again, as I mentioned, this is Black History Month, so there's no better time to have so many resources at your fingertips to just learn more about this history. And I hope that even when you learn about the difficult moments within Black history, that you also find the joy that many Black people have carried with them through generations, that you still see today at family cookouts and dinners and barbecues and Juneteenth events and so many other things, where it's something about when you're able to gather with your family and you think about a time when you could not even have a family. That's where you just see the joy and you see the passion and the excitement of just being. So I hope you enjoyed today's episode, and please remember to follow me on Instagram. That's at Life Combos with Tyriana. So LifeConvos, the letter W, Tyriana. And comment down below, what are some of your resources that you use to learn more about Black history? What is something that you learned recently that you think other people should know about? All right, well, until next time, bye.